Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. We'll close our exhortational teaching on the patterns of prayer that we began last week. Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations. That's the word there, Matthew 2. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you saw that it means, therefore, that Jesus gives a pattern of living to us as believers. A pattern. You have the word Matthew 2, to teach all nations means to train people in a particular practice. Matthew's Gospel 28 and 18. Just like you have apprentice. An apprentice would be someone, male or female, who would be learning a practice, something that should be done, like a trade or not. And so that means that when you use the word make disciples, it's specific. So what is it specific on? It is specific around or in the ministry of Jesus. Like we have been saying for a while, the 28 chapters in Matthew, 16 in Mark, 24 in Luke, and 21 in John. And in all those chapters, majority of the chapters, precisely 80%, are about the ministry of Jesus. Even the first two chapters, in Luke and Matthew, are again towards the ministry of Jesus. So, if you will be the disciple of Jesus, you are definitely the disciple, not of Jesus' carpentry, or Jesus' hometown, or his eating habits, well, maybe that part of it anyway, or Jesus' it has to be the ministry of Jesus. There is no disciple of Jesus that is not active in the ministry of the gospel. The moment you are called a disciple, it means that you are learning in the ministry of Jesus and then you are following it. And so last week we said that a core part of the ministry of Jesus was his prayer pattern. His prayer pattern. In other words, we don't just learn from just hearing him speak. We also look at his pattern. What kind of pattern was his ministry like? What are the examples that he laid or he still lays for us to follow? And that's what we are disciples of. We are disciples of the pattern that he has laid for us to follow. And you look at the emphasis of his teaching. You look at the things that he doesn't emphasize and the things that he emphasized. You look at the things he spoke against and the things he spoke for. So that's being a disciple, where you are looking at the pattern of his ministry and then saying, this is how I ought to follow him. And then we said that he committed unto the disciples. I mentioned something on Sunday. I'm sure many of us were in that service. That should be the second service. No, it was the first. And how many were in the first service on Sunday? Okay. Where I gave you, for example, an idea of how Jesus said that they shouldn't tell anyone about the miracles. Can you remember that? And also the visions. And I explained to us that while he said that, but eventually we read about it. We read about it in the four gospels. So what happened? So I began to give you. Now, I deliberately explained it that way on Sunday because in all of our materials, where we explain the miracles of Jesus and why, charismatic ministry, and all the other materials, I didn't give this explanation. And somehow, I don't know how it skipped my mind, but then I had to bring it back. It was when I looked at the material, I said, I didn't say this. So I decided to teach it again. So I'm going to reemphasize it. And a very key part of discipleship. And so I showed you on Sunday that he asked them not to tell anyone. We had three scenarios. One of them was when he raised the dead, Jairus' daughter, Luke 8. He said, he charged them. And we saw that the word charge means to command strongly. Don't tell anybody. We also saw that, you know, there was another man that he opened the deaf and dumb, and he also charged them that they should tell no man. Then the third one we saw was, what's the third one again? I've said the deaf and, okay, fine. The third was the vision in Luke 9, where they saw in the vision Elijah and they saw Moses. And if you note, when Peter was going to write about that vision, he didn't mention Elijah and Moses, unlike the four Gospels accounts. So, he said they shouldn't tell anybody. And in Matthew 16, when Peter said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God," in verse 21 again, he says he charged them, that they should tell nobody until his resurrection. Now, I also showed you that, in spite of saying that, people did not listen to him. They went ahead and told the world what had happened. So I showed you something remarkable, that upon his crucifixion, those who went into the streets to tell the world were not there. In fact, it's not unlikely that they were the ones that said, "Crucify him." Maybe not. But upon his resurrection, when the disciples, now apostles, the 12, then the 120, and thereabout, when he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, Luke 24, 44 and 45, then they looked back, and then they interpreted the miracles in the light of his redemptive sacrifice. So they were not sharing excitements. They were seeing it as a sign of a particular emphasis of God and message of God, which is the resurrection. You could listen to that. I think it must be the session 3, right? That's session 3. I took longer time on that than now, and I took you step by step. Now, I said that to say, that means there is a way disciples are schooled. Disciples are not excited the way every other person is excited, because they are schooled. He said in Luke 10:17, he said, "The demons are subject to us through your name." He said, "Behold, I beheld Satan fall like from heaven." Luke 10:18, "Behold, I give you power," that's the whole authority, "to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Then he says, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the demons are subject to you. Rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That is the resurrection. So he says, he didn't say, "Rather rejoice not in this alone." That's not what he said. Rejoice not. And so, in other words, there is a right and wrong way of presenting a physical miracle. There's a way a disciple will speak about the miracle of Jesus and the miracles that will happen through his own ministry, different from how an excited crowd will do the same. In other words, the miracles now became part of the doctrine of Christ. Matthew 16, he healed men that were sick and cast out the demons with his word, that it might be fulfilled. Himself bore infirmities and took our sicknesses. That it might be fulfilled. In other words, Matthew, looking back, now said he did this because of his sacrifice for sins. That's how a man is a disciple. You follow the same pattern. Observe what things soever I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. He said, "Tell no man till I'm raised from the dead." So upon his resurrection, I showed you on Sunday, he now shows, now don't forget, I also mentioned this, that there was a crowd of people that saw the miracles, whether either the larger crowd of thousands or within the 400 or 120. But Jesus chose how many again? 12, to document and present the miracles properly. in the light of the gospel. He chose them. Acts 1:3. He chose them to carry out that work. He called them his disciples. Luke 24:48, Acts 1:8. So there is a method that disciples are taught. There's a method. There's a pattern. And that pattern must be, like Paul said in Philippians 1:27, that becometh of the gospel. It must agree with the gospel. In other words, the moment a miracle points to you, it is no longer in the light of the gospel. It must point to the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus, what he has done, as a sign of it. That is discipleship. So, like I said, I just did this very briefly. You listen to the teaching, it's already out. Say it to Archippus, session 3. I know you should start from session 1, but I'm just telling you where it is, deliberately. And I'm saying that because it wasn't included in any of our materials. We've explained this before in all of our books, but not this way that I've done it tonight. No. Or on Sunday afternoon, not that way. I didn't say it in this way. And so explanations can broaden your perspective on something and shed more light. This is exactly what this will do for you. It doesn't in any way mean we shouldn't talk about the miraculous, but it should be in the light of the gospel. By the scriptures, this has happened to Jesus, happened to the world. Because of that, this happens. And that's the way they had to write. So you can get the materials in to bless you. So, a disciple, therefore, learns your motive, learns your manners. He learns how you do things. A disciple is not somebody you bring to church. No, don't get it wrong, guys. A disciple comes with you to church because you come to church. A disciple is not somebody you drag to the service. No. The reason why a disciple follows you to church is because you also come. So, the disciple prays because you pray. The disciple, therefore, will look at you. You know, if you're a man, he looks at your conduct, your comportment, and then the disciple follows through. The disciple looks at the way you dress. I'll tell you, as a younger Christian, just like every Christian should be, I was very impressionable. So, it wasn't difficult for me, because, I mean, as a younger Christian, what was reigning in my time was this, they used to call it a style before it became Tyson. You know Tyson? You know Tyson haircut? There was a name it was called, before Tyson adopted it. Huh? Punk. Thank you. So, you know, I got born again with a punk on my head. As a new creature, but there was nothing new on my head. But by just seeing that those who led me to Christ, and, you know, of course they put some instructions in the things they said eventually, but just seeing that, they didn't need to say it to you. You just saw yourself. That is discipleship. So the reason why they would take me to church is because they were also attending church. That's why on the very first day that I got born again, that was the day I went for evangelism. No membership class. No tell the world. What next after salvation? Nothing. I got born again in the morning. I went for evangelism in the evening. The same day. You know when John says, that same day. And he just said to me, brother's name is Sunday Akande. He said, watch what I'm about to do. You are going to do it now. Yeah? I was still battling with condemnation in the afternoon. It takes me for evangelism. So he first of all wiped that condemnation feeling immediately. Oh God, you have a soul to win. So he was preaching. You know, as he was preaching, I was not really listening to what he was saying. I was scared that, you know, I'm going to be doing this. All I just saw was the guy said, amen. He said, bow your head and pray. So I felt, well, when I go to preach, I just say, please bow your head and pray. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? You know, we are all sinners. I was a sinner like you until this morning. Now, you know, of course the guy didn't get saved. And then he asked me, what did you say? I said, I told him, he said, no. He said, let's go again. That's why you discover today, if you come back and say, oh yeah, go again. That's the first thing I learned. Some of you know I've done it before you before. I said, what did I say? Go again. Because that's how I learned. I said, go again. This time around, he didn't follow me. So I went. And somehow, I got my message. What I preached, I still don't know. But I believe it's the power of God unto salvation. But the point is, that is discipleship. So it's not inviting someone to church. You are modeling Christianity. That Christians go for services. So, your disciple sits down. He sees you bring out a note. You are modeling it. That's why I ask you, if you are leading someone to Christ, or in Christ, you can't come to church late. You can't. Then you start looking at how you dress. What do you wear? And what I've learned is, oftentimes, disciples or people take it to the next level. People that follow you, take what you are doing to the next level. I mean, if you preach, if you tell someone today that you are born again, Christ has saved you, you are eternally saved, in his mind, somebody that is not in your mind is in his mind, says, so no matter what I do, and that is what he will tell the next person. Something you never said, but that's the next level. What it means, therefore, is that discipleship follows patterns. And whether you like it or not, I've told you before, we are all products of influence. There's no way, every way you are dressed today, how colors match color. How many of you know you didn't get born again with how color matches color? So you didn't get born into this world. Or from the womb, you have known the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Dressing. No. Someone told you, green and yellow. Are you a masquerade? Can't you see how it looks like that? You know, that means even the way you dress. How do you know that you have to button this? Do you get it? Some of us now fly our shirts. You know, we fly our shirts. Someone was telling me, he said, why do you do this? I said, because that is the way I learnt it. You know, you saw it somewhere. It didn't come from your spirit. You saw it. You liked it. Then you did it. And that's the same way that discipleship happens. I remember years ago, a friend of mine said this and he blessed me. He taught it in a meeting. He said, if you can teach people to pray, alright, and teach people how to read their Bibles, we can tell them how to laugh in the spirit. I said, wow. That was a bold statement. That was 1996 at the camp meeting. He said, you can teach people how to laugh, 95. You can teach them how to laugh in the spirit. So, then he will call one of us out. The specimen there was my friend, Larry Amuso. Larry was a lovely chap. So you tell him, Larry knew how to rejoice. That when Larry is rejoicing, if you don't like rejoicing, you will like it. So you use Larry as a rejoicer. Say, did you see what he has done? Oh yeah, get up on your feet. That's the way he taught people. But you know, that's actually Christianity. That's Christianity. We see things that, you know, when he said Jesus rejoiced in the spirit in Luke 10:21, you now find rejoicing a whole lot in the book of Acts because they saw him do it. So, that is discipleship. Patterns. So the reason why a disciple follows you to church is because you come. Now imagine if you stop coming. That means you might lead the person astray. Let me show you how to follow what I just said now. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can lead the person astray. Why do you think Paul would say, there's food offered to idols. I know you know there's no idol in this world. But for the sake of this person who might think it's for idols, rather than destroy your brother, you will not eat meat. Strange. That's not getting to heaven. That's not eternal life. That is being an example. Considering the other person. That's the way it goes. So, discipleship, therefore, you follow the motives and all of that. And this comes to a question the brother asked me today. He's a pastor. And then he said, can I share something personal with you? I said, you can. And he said, you know, I know you've been in this for a while. I said, no, I've not been in for a while. Some have been in longer than I have. About times three. He said, well, but I know you can help my experience. I said, okay. He said, you know, are there times you feel like not praying? You don't desire the things of God? That you don't, you just want to stop what you're doing and focus on other things? I said, we all do all the time. He said, like when? I said, for me today. He said, Pastor Chris, stop joking. I said, no, I'm not joking. I'm just, you asked me for a counselor. I'm giving you, you say I'm joking. He said, eh. I said, what did you now do? I prayed. That's what you do. I said, because in boredom, you deepen your conviction. He said, someday along the line, your experience becomes someone's wisdom. You know, I remember I put this out on social media. Some people really went wild. That don't believe in a man until he has spent 10 to 15 years. Actually, it's a quote by Brother Tokes. It's not mine. So he came on my wall and I said, you just want to claim your quotes. That's why you came to. Well, you don't come to my wall often. You now saw something that looks like your quotes. You now came to claim it. Claim it and take it away. So we talked about it afterwards. You know, and he used to say it, that watch a man. And the reason was, not just himself, I think Brother Hagin has said it before, over and over again, that, you know, you look at Paul. Paul took 14 and a half years, okay, before he said, okay, now we see that God has given you the gospel to the uncircumcision. So it's just a pattern that people, just you should see a pattern and say, okay, this makes sense. And the reason is, you know, then a lot of things must have happened. A lot of guys gone through experiences. He's not preaching out of excitement. He's now born out of conviction. Most of the time. And so the guy came and said, sir, are you not saying? I said, why are you scared? Are you not going to use 15 years in me? He said, I am. Hey, you are still a novice. Are you not a novice? He said, yes. You are afraid because you are people following you. You want to tell them, guys, I'm still a novice. But you are. You know? And they are going to be under your novice. You're going to use them for tests and trials. You're going to do many programs and conventions at this stage. You know? And social media is not going to help you. Unlike when we were that way, we'll go and print our flyer ourselves. When nobody collects, we put it under our bed. But your own, you'll have announced to the world. Then you'll be taking pictures. And you'll be giving prophecies. And then there will be a lot of things to match up what you have said in the media. Today you do Kings and Kings Convention for them. In 2 months, the Lord is saying we should do Raining Convention. Because you saw it on social media. In another 6 months, you say, I sense a new work. Because your friend has had another one at the Kenya. So you are just using them like this. I said, but the truth is this, you'll become wiser and stronger. And that your experience will now become someone's wisdom. Sorry for those who became your guinea pigs, but that is how we all learn. You know? So, amen. And that's plainly what it is. You know, nothing more than that. That's why some people say, I remember one time some guys were talking about the word. They say, this country, the word. And then I called one of them and said, look, you are still going to change what you are saying. He said, no, sir. I said, you will change it. You have to first change, then you change back. That's the way it happens. You know, this is not word of wisdom. It's just the way it happens. You know, I remember when the pastor wanted them, you know, they used to be very... You see, your own was word and issue. Eh? Is that your own? Listen, that they used to have one place in their school. I don't want to review you guys too many times, but I have to use you as an example. It's now wisdom for others, alright? They had this room called Word HQ. Word Headquarters. Let me stop there. You know, I said to them, so there's a lot of people that were following me. Word niche. Word niche. I said, many of these guys will fall aside. So like Noah's Ark. I said, it's a normal thing. Because all the excitement will just go boom. Boom. They are looking for job. Looking for money. You confess the word and the pain will still be on your leg. Yeah? And you have already made mouth on the pulpit. You have declared, you know, I have no lack. I'm a new creature. Then the days of Allah now come. Allah says, bum, minus. You have declared you are taking over the nation. Your fellowship is 1.5 members. Ah. You say, what did it teach you? So, boredom. Sometimes you are going to be preaching the same truth to 2-3 people. Then your convictions are being deepened. Being deepened. That's the way it works. You know. So boredom is where you deepen your convictions. Boredom means you're just doing the same thing over and over again. You know, initially you like the study group, you're excited. After 3 months, you see, what is the essence of this study group, self? You know, you first like the fact that, my God, in our church, we pray 3 hours every week. After 6 months, you say, but we are praying about the same thing now. Do you understand? You get it? You know, pastor is just changing the title. He's saying the same thing. He's just changing the title. But he said, Lord, in Genesis, he just changed the title of the book. Now you are about to deepen your conviction. Where there is no excitement. Nothing glamorous anymore. Then what you truly believe will be found. So never waste that time. Never. Never waste that time. It can be a year, 2 years. Don't waste it. You will become someone's pillar of wisdom someday. That is discipleship. Because what you don't have, you cannot give. What you don't have, you cannot give. Imagine somebody is teaching you. He's telling you, he said, well, you want to learn how to fly a plane in pilot school. The guy says, Yanni, you're about to take off. He said, actually, I just watched this thing on YouTube. You forget the exigencies. You are quoting Psalm 91. Forget the exigencies. He that dwells in the Most High. He said, I watch it on YouTube. Huh? Do you understand? So that's it. There is a training of the Spirit of God. That's it. What is this for? So I was telling me, when I'm studying the word, I just have this joy flowing in my heart. You have not started studying. When me, I'm studying, I have a headache. You are having joy. With joy. When I'm studying, my head goes, you are saying, glory, glory, glory. You get to a point, you are reading the same verse all over again. I believe. Then your convictions are being deepened. Those who are training Christians that, things will change. Your convictions are deepened when things don't change at all. And the word becomes your rock solid foundation, then you are learning the faith. Are you following this? So, first and foremost is to understand that we are all products of influences. That's why you have to ask yourself, your mode of speech, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you project yourself, the way you react, where did the influence come from? You can note where the influence came from. Ensure it's godly, ensure it's scriptural. There's nobody that seemingly, you know, there was something, let me give you a simple example. When I was in the boarding house, because I grew in the boarding house, so naturally in the boarding house, one house is different from being a base student. In boarding house, you guys, you roll from morning till night and all of that. And naturally, there were things that I felt I would never do that I did. Because you didn't see it before. You hadn't seen it before. You hadn't been around it long enough. There were things that, you know, you just see people did it. Even when you now became a senior, there are things you saw other seniors unconsciously, that's how you are going to react. Because you have seen it long enough. Long enough to do exactly the same thing. We are all a product of influence. All of us. Jeremiah 10:23 says, not in man to know the way the man who go. We are all a product of influence. Oh, yeah. Well, if a fellow comes to church, for example, and he sits down, and he has no Bible, it's not that he saw it in his spirit. He has seen people do it. So he says, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? That's why you won't see a human being, except something has gone wrong, right? So, and then he begins to crawl on the floor, and he's biting the dust. He says, what's wrong with this guy? Because it's an odd behavior. Because what did he see? Maybe he's not okay mentally. You get my point? So, naturally, what we are doing is what we have seen people do. Whether consciously or unconsciously. And that is how discipleship works. I must consciously be discipled, and I must consciously disciple others. Knowing this well, Jesus will warn his disciples. He said, beware and take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why would he say that to his disciples? Because they had seen the Pharisees long enough. He knew they would start to reflect their behavior. Matthew 6:1, he says they should beware. Beware of giving alms and letting the whole world know. That's important. In Matthew 16:6, he says you take heed of that leaven of the Pharisees. Beware and take heed. He uses the word prosecco. P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. In Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets. You have to know how to, this is wrong. You have to know this is wrong. Because if you don't know it is wrong, you will treat it as right. So, this is wrong. I must know that this is wrong. Beware. So, if he told his own disciples, beware of the Pharisees, that is how he wants you and I to be. We must be conscious not to follow the wrong examples. That's why in Romans 16:17, Paul will say, mark them who cause divisions, who teach contrary to the doctrine. He says you should mark them. In 2 Timothy 3:8 to 10, he says, not the man who does not obey our epistle. Now, that means in following the right examples, I must equally know the wrong ones. Mark them. I must know this is wrong. So beware of the Pharisees, beware of the Sadducees, beware of the fellow who causes divisions and teaches contrary to the doctrine that you have received of us, Romans 16:17. Just mark them. I know I was saying this to a friend of mine today. We're talking on the phone, and I said, you know, something about association is that the best of us lose our values with long associations. The best of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul says, don't be deceived. That means you are capable to think you can be different. He says, evil communication corrupts good manners. Notice what it says, corrupt good manners. That means the fellow that was corrupted had good manners. And how does it work? Remember my friend said that then, he said, after a while, you begin to reason with what is wrong. And it's not really, there's nothing wrong in it though. Oftentimes a statement like that precedes compromise. There's nothing wrong in it though. And that's because the person was not careful. Wasn't careful. And they were, you know, like I mentioned on Sunday, I think I gave this illustration that somebody came to church in Ibadan. Pastor, I told you, that was 2 years ago. And I saw it on the internet. They came to church and then they asked fellow, I think he must have been the one, because from that speech, the one that did it. I said it on Sunday already in your absence, so I'm saying in your presence. She said, that, where's your Bible? The guy said, in the Bible, he doesn't want to. They said, okay, give him a Bible. He said, he doesn't want, right? That's the story. And then he said, well, if you don't want to read the Bible, you don't want to have one, walk out of our service. So the thing went on, I think I didn't finish that story on Sunday. I didn't finish it on Sunday. So the thing went on, someone said, how can you, is that a church? So they were all talking. The guy now said, what are you all talking about? Was he planning to go to a dance club? How would you go to a church without a Bible? Well, we're in the days. I would never have imagined that I can be justified to go to church without a Bible when I was a younger Christian until now. You see my hand? I never could think a Christian can go to church without a Bible until now. A friend was telling me how he went to preach somewhere, and the entire church, including the assistant pastor, didn't have a Bible. He said, Pastor Chris, they did not even have Bible on their phone. Is that bad? That so, in 1 hour, 30 minutes, I was told to teach, I took 45 minutes to talk about why you must have Bible. He said, yes. They were looking somehow. He said, well, I've learned from you. You don't send them. I think he said the next time he went or so, okay, I think the pastor now wrote back and thanked him for disciplining his members. But, you know, they must have seen it somewhere. Now, look at it. Just think straight. Why should somebody go to church without a Bible? It's an abnormal behavior. No, act like there's no projector. Think straight. As an unbeliever, when you were going to church, what's the first thing you take to church? Thank you. You are thinking straight. Now, as a believer, you know, just think straight. Don't look to the right or the left. Just think straight. Take your Bible. Even when you were doing CRK, in list of books, they wrote Bible. Even children took Bible to children's church. So it's an odd behavior. Even if they put the scripture on the screen. For those who prefer to look far than near. Have a document to check it that it is true. Because it's possible for me to put what I like on the screen for you. But the one in your hand, it remains the word of God. So, it's influence. Mark them. Note, this is not the right thing. You need to go and listen to the series I just taught on, say to Archippus. Hallelujah. Did it on Sunday. So you look at the examples. Mark them. Alright, I wrote there. Note also what you should not follow. Notice, this is not proper. And, okay, I was trying to say that if you are around something long enough, you will start reasoning with it. That was some people when they go to foreign countries, you know, as important as it is to fellowship with believers there, advise sound Christians who are still sound until they become sound system that before you go to a country, ask which church am I going to attend? Don't go there and be looking for church. Which church am I going to attend? Or am I being led to start one? Till you become a church. Because you get to such nations and people get confused. Someone was telling me that this is this is somebody that had been here. Then that was 2012 or 11. So, been around here and the person was in LMM. You don't know LMM? We used to attend when we used to do service Saturday and Sunday. Put together. Saturday, throughout Sunday. Now went abroad. And said, service are lovely, sir. Wonderful. How would I? Said, lovely. Said, the ambience is nice. People are friendly. I'm wondering, where did I teach you that? Did you go to Rotary Club? I said, how is church? Said, they're friendly. Okay, I said, how was it? He said, lovely. You know, you could see that. They had good worship. I was looking at it. I said, how about the teaching of the word? Really, they focus more on their Tuesday Bible studies. You know, the Sunday thinking like, you know, like a get together. And you are there. But this person was someone that, when she was around, I must have said this before, that when I checked my phone, the kind of text messages that she sent to me, the way I search for her name is sorry. Sorry, sir. Or excuse me, sir. I usually know the person. You and Alex. You know the person I'm talking about. Sir. I said, oh. And I think the person was given to prayer or something, you know, at some point. Yeah? You know the person. You know the person. Given to prayer. And then say, you know, nice ambience, or rice and beans. You went to church for ambience. Do you have a problem in your family? How can you go to church because of ambience? Are you going to live there? All joint, 2 hours, you are out. One day in the week. Midweek service, 1 hour 30 minutes. So, because of 1 hour 30 minutes of feeling AC, that is not in your own house. It's true now. Some people attend a church that don't have AC. And the kind of fan that they have in their house is attached to the floor. Ceiling fan. The way somebody begins to look for a house and say, please, does he have cross ventilation? You know the way I heard that cross ventilation. And then you are now choosing a church that has AC. You have been attacked. So, by the time you stay long, you're already reasoning that way. Then there's no big deal. There's no big deal. So in discipleship, we learn patterns. Patterns. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul said to Timothy, he said, you know my doctrine. Did that clear? Verse 10. You know my manner of life. Agoge, my conduct. He says, you know my purpose, prothesis. P-R-O-T-H-E-S-I-S, prothesis. The word you are going to find in Romans 8:28. All things work together for good, according to his purpose. Romans 9:11, also the purpose of election. Ephesians 1:11, purpose of his will. 2 Timothy 1:9, used that earlier. According to his own purpose and grace. Hebrews 9:2. Now, the word purpose here means the conclusion or reason. The conclusions or reasonings. So, where does it conclude? Very vital. Follow such pattern. So, All they want to hear is, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Till they get Jesus from you. What is the conclusion? What is the purpose? So you follow the motive, you follow the conduct, like Paul has said. So look at the prayer life of Jesus. Last week we saw how Jesus prayed. We saw that he prayed when he was being baptized. That is, he prayed around activities. We also saw that he left his house, where he never had a house. He left his comfort to go and pray in the wilderness. Wilderness doesn't mean where you have no water. It means where there are no houses. We also saw that he prayed all night. Can you remember that? 6 to 6. We also saw that he prayed with tears. He prayed with tears, bursting out as blood from his body. We also saw that he took people to pray. And he prayed around people. It's a pattern. And one key element we are going to observe here again today is that he prayed always. Call it pray as you go. Always. You should get to a point where you can know the minimum time you prayed, but not the maximum. I learned it from Pastor Louis Johnson. I just heard this phrase. This was how he said it. I remember I was watching Church on Air. It was sometime in 92, I suppose. So I think I just watched Bishop Ilopo Taifeto. Then he now preached. He now said that he thinks that the minimum a Christian should pray is 1 hour. So I looked at him somehow. Not because I wasn't praying more than an hour then. I mean, we had enough punishment then to pray for over an hour. So he now said, Jesus told his disciples, can't you tarry with me for an hour? He said he saw that as a benchmark. So I told myself, that's true. You know, so you should know the minimum. Because he didn't pray for an hour. Obviously from the timing, he came 3 times. Or twice or 3 times, depends on the account. But the truth is, you should have a minimum, but don't have a maximum. Which means it is possible that I pray throughout the day. Throughout the day. Praying in tongues, for example. I can pray throughout the day. I can pray, but I will not ensure that there is a minimum by which I pray. Throughout the day. That's his pattern. So, in Matthew 7:7, when it says, ask and shall receive, seek and find, knock and door shall be opened unto you. In the Greek of that phrase, is like something that you keep doing. I'll explore that next day. I want to see when we get to the four Gospels. We'll get there. Something that you keep doing. So, you have a never give up attitude in praying, which means, I will never stop praying. Prayer is such that you don't say, I have prayed. You say, I have prayed and I'm praying. Prayer is such that I keep praying. The way this world is, the kind of challenges we face as born again men, the kind of pressures that we face, whether it's a pressure from the flesh, from the world, the sin and the devil, the kind of pressures that we face demands that we always should be praying. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you fall into a temptation. So it demands a consistent, see, anything that thinks you have prayed too much, it can never be the voice of God. That's too much praying. There's nothing called too much. I see some of these motivational speakers. Some of them are disguised as pastors. They say, Europe did not change by prayer. They say, China did not change by prayer. When they go to those nations, all they see are natural things. They never talk about the gospel. Oh, See, China, they are godless.
Someone was saying one day, I saw him on Facebook, right? And I said, no, I think it was Twitter, I saw a tweet from him. So China is godless, they don't believe in God. You know about prayer, they are this, they do this for America. I said, come, even if you have lost your head, don't lose your spirit.
When we are talking about China, we are talking about salvation now. You are talking about technology. And those who are in that China, they pray like they are going to die if they don't pray. So take your stupid carnality away. Say, look at Europe. Look at Europe. Now you go to same Europe to go and do evangelism. The first thing you do is go and do tea party. I met some missionaries, they came from Sweden. I think it was year 2001 or so. No, 3. And so they were talking about how they do evangelism. Say they will call you for lunch. Then every week they'll give you bread, they'll give you tea. Then after a while, when you now ask, say, why are you doing this? They now say, is it Jesus in us? I said, 3 of them are this. The Jesus. See. I said, you don't know evangelism. You don't know the gospel. No, not like that. Not like that. I said, you don't know it. Because oftentimes, I'm not trying to disparage people, but some of these, what they call mission work, is actually taking tourist attractions. Because you say, how's Africa? So they say black folks. They see people taking Okada. They're taking pictures. They say, you know Jesus? Oh, good, good. Enjoy. Oh, God, go! Let me lock you up in a room. Let's do 12 hours. You will pray. You will not hit the streets. You will forget bread. You see Christ crucified. What are you talking about? We went on a trip one time around the United States. So we went to many states, you know. So when these churches, we visit churches and the facilities. And the facilities were peace. You go to facilities, you know. And I went to a particular one. They had basketball court, they had disco hall, they had. So, our tall guy, they are, madam, who was all this? If Jesus came this day, he won't use weeple. Disco hall. Hey, Josh. So I said, why are you doing this? He said, you know, sometimes people like, you know, when they go out in the world, they have, they get this dance and music outside. So we thought, in case I had to go to the world, you could just come in here. And I said, when is your prayer meeting? He said, well, what we do oftentimes is because of people's work, we try to pray before the service, and then sometime in the week, when you are not praying, you'll be cooking. So somebody just spoke from me, said, exactly, this is how church should be. One of Nigerian guys, who have never been there before. When I get, I'm going to tell pastor, this, I said, if you say this in Nigeria, they are having a crisis. They are having a crisis. That's why they are doing this. Why would I want to dance and come to church? Do you know how to dance? I know where they dance and it's not church. I know good music is not in church. Church learns it from the world and it is godly. Good music is not in church. Tell yourself the truth. The best musicians are not born again. Even they are born again, they are not singing born again songs. Don't lie to yourself. I said, no. We're not taking this to Africa. We don't have power problem. We don't have power shortage. We have 24-hour electricity supply. For prayer. The time you are using to do DJ, can't you go and preach? You know, just feel like, you know, say after some weeks, you know, now we now begin to talk about Jesus. We're in the hall, disco hall. Baby, on the dance floor. Let me tell you something about Jesus.
Oh, is he the DJ? I trust in the power of God. I trust in prayer.
As long as one today, the person was telling me, Pastor, my disciples are not stable.
I said, you have not prayed enough. You pray more.
Not like that.
You pray more. A pattern of prayer is that we pray every day. Every fast, which is one of you, Colossians 4 and 12, says, prays for you always, agonizes. Epaphras is crying. Epaphras is laboring. Paul says, always.
Not a prayer life that is in the history. Always. Look at the book of Acts. I showed you that last week.
It's a book of prayer.
There was a consistent pattern of prayer by the church. Acts 1, 14 and 15. Acts 2, 42. Acts 3, 1 and 2. Acts 4, verse 23, down to 31.
Acts 6, verse 3, verse 4 says, we give ourselves to prayer and use of the word. Acts 6, 6. They prayed for them.
Prayer was, when Paul got saved, what Jesus told Ananias, for he prayeth 3 days. It's a pattern. It's a pattern. Every day you pray as you go. Prayer is a never-ending activity. Romans 12:12, instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always. Colossians 4 and 2, continue in prayer. Without prayer in verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means it is possible that I decide to pray for 24 hours. I can decide to. I can say throughout this week, all my activities, I will ensure I keep a spirit of prayer. Pray without ceasing. Did you observe that most of the time when they say pray, nothing involves material things? Sometimes there is even no prayer point. Pray! Because you have to pray. And so we must have that pattern of being prayerful. Being prayerful is a pattern. Watch the example. Whenever anybody talks down on prayer, hear what I'm about to say. Mark the person. Anyone who talks down on prayer, mark the person. Something you can see from scripture that is not a mere instruction, it is a strong one. Mark the person. Don't get married to any man or woman who talks down on prayer. Don't do it. You are risking many things. Watch anybody who is trying to get close to you, who talks down on prayer. Anyone that can mock prayer cannot be a godly person. Nobody should mock prayer. Prayer is how God conducted himself on earth. God Almighty did not do without prayer. So prayer is beyond a mere activity. Any church they talk down on prayer should not be accepted so that they can change. Any ministry, anybody that talks down on prayer should not be taken seriously again. Joke about everything. You can't joke about prayer. No, you can't. It becomes not just ungodly, it becomes devilishly ungodly. Don't joke about prayer. Prayer! 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 Jesus going to the cross prayed. I mean, that shows you the intensity of the need of prayer. Prayed! How can you joke about prayer? One of the things you can ask a friend is, how is your prayer life? You know, you can ask a friend, how often do you pray daily? It's not, do you pray daily? Mm-mm. How often do you pray every day? One of the ways you know that your prayer life has declined is when you start talking too much. You will know it. When you talk too much, you no longer observe the quiet, the sane silence of believers. Prayer is being jeopardized. You talk too much. You suddenly are just feeling bored about spiritual things. You have to oil prayer all over again. Prayer is something that you, it's not a suggestion. No! Always. Always. Continually, Paul says. Watch people that talk light and loose on prayer. I'll tell you this as a younger Christian. All the churches I ever joined, whether as a member or secular as a pastor, I will join the prayer department. The prayer department. I'm saying from 1989, I will always join prayer department. Because that is, it shows you are serious minded. The prayer department. Now of course we don't have such a thing here. But I'm saying that it's such a, I wasn't thinking twice about it. When I became associate pastor for, is that apostle? Was he a bishop? I told him, I said, sir, let me handle the prayer team. Sir, because we have to, it's a new church. We have to pray. First week we had fasting. Everybody was fasting. We fast and we pray and we go out meeting for evangelism. Let me handle this one. So pray. I don't have any other power but prayer power. I don't have any. I don't know where to get it from. Some are focusing on media strategies. That if we get on YouTube or LTube, if we post at 4 p.m. every day on Facebook, it's good. But I say, first of all, prayer. I don't want to do ministry like a secular organization where all you are doing is strategy. No. Let us pray. I know that many times in prayer, many of your plans will become like sand in your mouth. How many of you know that? As a pastor, when you are deep in the place of prayer, some of the things you are thought you were going to do, you will just find that they just become strange. Ah, no, we can't do this one. Almost with no reasons. You give yourself to prayer. To prayer. Prayer pattern is to pray always. As you are sitting, be praying. When you leave the service, be praying. Before you sleep, you are praying. You woke up, you are praying. You are driving, you are praying. You are being driven, you are praying. A short break at work, you are praying. Short break in school, you are praying. I mean, that is the pattern. When you are like that, you can't run from prayer meeting. Because it's already a culture. It's a culture. It's a culture. It's a culture. You're praying. So I was telling me, sir, when I pray, pastor friend, he said, all my tithes were paining me. Exactly. It pains all of us. It pains Jesus. To pray. It shows that your tithes are not used to prayer. Stretch it well. It will pray. To pray. I was out of the way, we were praying. I don't know what happened. My shoes and the sandal I was using, it just created a blister. My legs. And I was on the road. I removed it and I continued. I was walking. So I moved this guy's back. I just knew that I was walking. The wound is still there. Because you want to pray. What if they told me, If you pray till 6, we'll give you $10 million. I said, there's no wound. It's not a wound, though, it's a design. But there's something more than money when I pray. When you see how the Spirit of God is sweeping the lives of people and seeing people turn. I was telling one of us, someone was telling me how the daughter had not urinated for 5 days. And there was, it became a fear. And they were listening to the teaching, Living Supernaturally. And they now listen to this song, I Am Supernatural. He said immediately they started singing the song. The other side passing urine. Another person told me, they was listening to the song, says community songs. He said that the three of them in their family were ill at the same time. But we were playing the songs. We were playing the songs. He said suddenly in the room, there was just like a cloud. Everybody got healed. I said, there are no songs we sang in the studio. Oh yeah, key one. I am supernatural. You are supernatural. Came out of people who were prayerful. They will sing. It's not about the key you put. It's not about the way the keyboard is played. It's the power in what you are singing. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. They told us, they said we should go to studio. I said, me will take people to studio and then we'll say, sing, lift your hand, me. Ah, no. I won't do that. I didn't say it's a sin, no. But when you see us doing sales community, don't come the next Sunday. This man has lost it. Don't come, don't come. Just say, ah! Finito. Sing it like that. And in the middle of singing, somebody will lose their voice. Have you seen it? Because they are using their voice for other things. The finished prayer group, they say, come and sing, Jesus, Jesus. It will bless us. We want a voice that prays. Hallelujah. Not the voice that I say, I can't pray too much. I have to keep my voice. I have to keep my voice. Keep your voice for hellfire. I think I'm in WCC mood. Let me stay away from it. Let me stay away. We have 2 more weeks to go. Prayer always is our pattern. You will see your mouth move so often in a day. What are you eating? Prayer. I said, I put you, you are walking with people. I said, good morning. I'm not greeting them. You say, good morning back. They say, what's going on? Because you are always praying. You got good news in the office? You are praying. Bad news? You are praying. Middle news? You are praying. Because it's not a question of how good the day is or the mood of the day. The pattern is we always pray. We always have something to pray about. I close here. Pray the pattern of scripture. Don't pray only at prayer meetings. Pray as a culture. Luke 22. We pray for men. I believe in the coming days, as a church, as a ministry, we're going to have stronger disciples, stronger members coming through us, because you will be strong. As you are strong, others are going to be strong. You discover that the strength of your own experience becomes the strength of others. As you give yourself in the place of prayer. Luke 22, 31. Simon, Simon, behold Satan, I desire to sift you, that he, I have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, that your faith fail not. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. We have men we pray for. Men in the gospel. You know, I don't comment on trending issues, but let me just say this. I didn't go into the details. I saw a popular musician got born again. And then he was going around the place preaching. I didn't get any story. I don't know anything. I just saw it. Usually not so much into reading trending things like that. And somebody said, is he really a Christian? Why are you like this? Why are you saw something noble for all it took? A
Christian gathering men to tell them about Jesus. I told the brother, I said, that fellow is born again. Nobody goes out like that preaching without salvation. I said, I don't know him. I stopped listening to music before he started singing. I don't know him. That's the truth. So, that kind of music, yeah. So I said, but, I said, look at you. I'm sure that you, if they give you eternal life on earth, you won't win as many souls as he has won in a day. That if they give you eternal life on earth, I put no time to your living. Because this is how you are going to continue talking. Good or bad, you to hit the streets. You saw somebody praying. You saw somebody prayed one all day after praying that somehow he died. Say, oh, he doesn't have wisdom. Why was that what you took? Just say, somebody saw it to pray for long. Though you will not die in your home. But you say, But we have had heroes of the faith who died praying. And they died well. They died well. I mean, somebody was stoned. And he was praying when he was stoned, Stephen. Jesus was crucified. And he prayed. So I said, when you see good examples, it ought to challenge you. What are you criticizing? So we will see his end. A true Christian, when you see someone like that, you bow your knees. Because I've told you, you can't choose who God will use. You know, I've told you that before. I've learned that. When you see that, you bow your knees. Father, I commend so, so and so. In the name of Jesus. You begin to pray. Then you have sincere budding. Then you stop criticizing. Patterns of prayer. We pray for preachers of the gospel and the recipients of their message. We pray for the not yet to receive. We pray for situations around the gospel. We follow the patterns that have been laid in the scriptures. I believe that within the culture of Nigeria, God is raising men and women who will receive the spirit of grace and supplication. As we birth ministries, churches, I'm seeing a wave of God's glory, particularly in the north of Nigeria. And I got someone confirmed last night. There's a hunger today, this morning, sorry. There's an hunger that will be met in a couple of months. An hunger. Coming down, an hunger. An hunger, an expression to know God through His Son Jesus Christ. But it becomes fruitful when we pray. Sometimes when we are praying, God is putting His will in our hearts. Sometimes things we don't even know at the first instance. You're sitting here today is the result of somebody's prayer yesterday. This place, I believe many years ago, did not envisage people gathering like this tonight. But somewhere in somebody's prayer life, He prayed it out. And this country, and many of the ministers. Go and pick the book because I prayed. Read it again. Again and again. And let it challenge your prayer life. The patterns of prayer. Jesus prayed around all his activities. Jesus left where he was living to go and pray somewhere. You should be doing that often. Jesus prayed all night. He prayed before he was tested. He prayed when he was tested. He prayed with tears. He prayed with agony. Blood coming out of his body. He prayed kneeling down. He fell on his face. Strong cries. He prayed always. All the time. Let that stir your heart tonight.
Let that stir your purpose tonight. If you don't know anything that is called a purpose for living, I'll tell you one tonight. Your purpose for living is to pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping. Pray without giving excuses. Oh, I'm not a married woman. No. The woman who birthed Charles and John Wesley and all the brothers, who gave birth, who founded the Methodist Church, one single woman was said that on a single day, she maintained a 12-hour prayer schedule. And she birthed all the boys to the work of the ministry. There's no excuse. How busy can you be? Yeah, well, my job, what I do. No, it's your priority. It's your priority. It's your priority. Somebody said to me, bless me. He said, look at Muslims. I'm not using them as an example of believers though. At least they have a 5-hour, 5-day schedule. And a number of them who are wealthy, connected individuals maintain it. Yes, imagine a believer who talks to the living God through Jesus Christ, who is a son. How can he not value moments where he can spend like that in prayer? Right. See that as a good reason to think. Pattern. Pray always. And don't forget, mark people that mock prayer. Mark people that play down on it. There are people I don't listen to. If I listen to them, maybe they'll do short clips and I just laugh. Don't take them too seriously. But somebody that says, minister, don't talk down prayer. Talk down anything. You can even talk down miracles if you like. I won't take you seriously on that one too. But you can't talk down on soul winning and I will like you. You can't talk down Bible study and I will like you. You cannot talk down prayer and you'll be my friend. It's not possible. That is the Christian life. Bow your heads, let us pray. Patterns of prayer. Have you adopted a wrong pattern? Once in 3 days. Praying at ease, with ease. Have you imbibed the wrong example? Have you become bored with prayer? What pattern are you following? The pattern of Jesus or the pattern of a worldly person who only prays when there's a problem?